In last week's homecoming Sunday service, we explained that we now have a new church theme for this coming year. Show me your ways and guide me in your truth. Do good, speak out, be generous, seek justice. And not a surprise or very shocking, last spring's voting and selection process simply reaffirmed the mission that we proclaimed last year, to open doors, build bridges, by doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God. Well, maybe that's because the Christian church, i.e. the Judeo-Christian tradition, is no different really than any other organization, institution, corporation, or movement, in that it is vital to always be clear and consistent about one's mission, one's purpose, one's reason for being, and if you will, to be clear about one's product. You see, this particular church, as we heard in our moment of sharing, First Church, knows full well what its product is and how very important it is to stay on message about our purpose. While last year's message came from the prophet Micah, this year's theme is a blend of strikingly similar scriptures from the Psalms, the book of Proverbs, the prophet Isaiah, and 1 Timothy. So over the next 4 weeks, Kate, Elizabeth, and I will be preaching on the dominant themes from these passages: to do good, to be generous, to speak out, and to do justice. This morning we will examine our call from God to do good. Now let me ask you this. Do people who repeat themselves over and over and over again ever annoy you or get on your nerves? Well then, God can be pretty annoying. You see, throughout the Old and New Testaments, God is continually asking us to do good. You know what I mean? In Galatians, we are told not to grow weary of doing good. In the Psalms, we are told to trust in the Lord and then do good. In Ephesians, we are told we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. In Matthew, we are told to let our light shine before others that they might see our good works. Okay, God, we got it. But maybe it wouldn't hurt to hear it two more times. Bring it on, Linda.
From the prophet Isaiah, learn to do good. Seek justice, help those who are oppressed, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow. From Paul's first letter to Timothy, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share with others. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Thanks be to God.
So this past spring and summer, up until Saturday, August 4th, my primary physical activity was gardening and taking care of our house and yard. You see, my second daughter, Meg, was married this past summer on August 4th here in this meeting house to Phil Mitchell, service performed by Kate. And Meg and Phil met at First Church over 13 years ago through our senior high youth fellowship. So spring and summer was no time for frivolous bike rides until that big day was over and behind us. Once the wedding was past, however, I eventually got back on my bike, but because of some of the rain over the past few weeks, I've been often forced down into the basement, our basement, to get on the stationary bike. So last weekend, I became one of the millions of viewers of a brand new advertising campaign launched just in time for the lucrative fall sports season. After viewing it, I began to do a little research, and lo and behold, FedEx and its advertising firm have put together quite an eye-catching and heart-pleasing series of commercials which seek to promote their mission as a Fortune 500 company. Through these heartwarming commercials, FedEx is trying to articulate its mission, its purpose, its raison d'etre as a package delivery company. A moment of joy, an act of kindness, an old friend, a new beginning, some welcome relief, the help you've been looking for. Well, it got me thinking, what would we say that we deliver, both as individual Christians and as a community of Christians called First Church in Glastonbury, as this year we once again seek to heed the amazingly and annoyingly repeated call of God to do good, to be generous in our good works, and to never grow weary of doing good. But seriously, is it possible to grow weary of doing good? Well, according to author George Saunders, it apparently is. In a commencement address to the graduates at Syracuse University, Saunders said, "A good question for young people to ask their wise, aging elders is this soul-searching question. Looking back, what do you regret?" Well, in that address, Saunders suggests that what he most regrets and what we will most regret if we pass them by are those little acts of kindness that we fail to deliver. Those good works that really are, when all is said and done, pretty easy to do. In that address, Saunders poignantly shared a regret that he has carried for more than four decades. Listen to Saunders' own words. "In seventh grade, this new kid joined our class. In the interest of confidentiality, her convocation speech name will be Ellen. Ellen was small and shy. She wore these blue cat's eye glasses, which at the time only old ladies wore. When nervous, which was pretty much always, she had a habit of taking a strand of hair into her mouth and chewing on it. So she came to our school and to our neighborhood and was mostly ignored, occasionally teased, 'Your hair tastes good.' I could see this hurt her. I still remember the way she'd look after such an insult, eyes cast down, a little gut kicked, as if having just been reminded of her place in things, she was trying as much as possible to disappear. After a while, she'd drift away, hair strand still in her mouth. At home, I imagined, after school, her mother would say, 'You know, how was your day, sweetie?' And she'd say, 'Oh, fine.' And her mother would say, 'Making any friends?' And she'd go, 'Sure, lots.' Sometimes I'd see her hanging around alone in her front yard, as if afraid to leave it. And then they moved. That was it. No tragedy, no big final hazing. One day she was there, the next day she wasn't. Now, why do I regret that?" Saunders asks. "Why, 42 years later, am I still thinking about it? Relative to most of the other kids, I was actually pretty nice to her. I never said an unkind word to her. In fact, I sometimes even mildly defended her. But still, it bothers me. How do we avoid the regret that has stayed with George Saunders for these 42 years? Marilyn Nelson is Professor Emerita of English at UConn. On the recent radio program On Being, Nelson recently shared this beautiful description of the product or the package that we, as individuals of faith, but also as the church, are called to deliver to this often dark and hurting world of ours. Nelson said, "I once had the image of being in a dark universe in which the only light was coming through people who allowed themselves to be open to the divine. We are the way light enters the universe. And when we allow the love of the divine to enter us and come through us, we are offering something not only to ourselves, not only the answer to our own little prayers, but also we are lighting the way." Friends, by our acts of kindness, by our good works, hope and love are delivered, and we allow the light of the divine, the light of God's love, to enter into this often dark world of ours. And a church can truly light the way through this world's darkness. And that's exactly what happened when one church did something 17 years ago. September 11th, 2001, Joe Dittmar, 44 years of age at the time, from the Chicago suburb of Aurora, Illinois, was in New York City for an early morning business meeting on the 105th floor of the World Trade Center. Before the meeting even began, the first plane hit the North Tower, and Dittmar saw the hellish aftermath from a South Tower window. In an interview with NPR's StoryCorps, Dittmar, now 61, vividly describes a horrific sight of black smoke and red flames pouring through the gaping holes in the North Tower. He decided to take the stairs to evacuate from that South Tower. He made it to the 72nd floor when 17 minutes after the first crash, the second plane hit the tower he was in. The people from his meeting who took the express elevator did not survive. All Dittmar could think about was making his way back home to Aurora to see his wife and children again. He had taken the train to Manhattan that morning from Philadelphia, so he decided to go to Penn Station, hop on a train, get his rental car, and drive back to Illinois. The train was packed with people sitting and standing, he said. Not a word was spoken. There weren't any words to say. Before making the drive the next morning, he called work to let them know that he would not be coming in that day. It was a good thing, he said. They thought I had died. When he was getting close to his home in Illinois, he called his wife for what he said was like maybe the 50th time. I said to her, "Hey, I'm almost there." She said, "They decided to have a mass at Our Lady of Mercy." And I stopped her right in the middle of her sentence and said, "I'll be there. I'll meet you there." When Dittmar arrived at the church, the parking lot was packed. "You would have thought it was Christmas," he said. I opened up the back door of the church to see these hundreds of eyes all staring at me, knowing where I had been. He scanned the church to find the spot where his family usually sat. My wife jumps over the back of the pews, runs to the back of the church, gives me the greatest hug and a kiss a man could ever want. She's not usually that kind of a demonstrative person, but that's what made that moment even more incredible. And I knew at that moment that I was home. Never had a better feeling in my entire life. Well, in this new church year, as we have returned home to feel one another's loving embrace and to feel God's loving embrace, and as we have returned home to once again God's repeated call to do good, what will we deliver as the beloved family of faith known as First Church? What's inside the package that we will deliver to our members and to the world? Well, take my word for it, FedEx has nothing on us. In this coming year, First Church will deliver moments of joy to children, youth, and elders who want to be loved and cared for. We will deliver acts of kindness to elders in this church and in our community who are sad or sick, grieving or alone. We will deliver a new beginning to people looking for an open, welcoming, and affirming church home. We will deliver some relief to people who are suffering because of hurricanes and earthquakes, persecution, war, or famine. And we will deliver help to children in need, refugees in need, homeless in need, hungry in need. We will deliver the help they have been looking for, the help of food, shelter, clothing, medicine, and above all else, hope. And so, friends, what exactly do we deliver? All year long, we get to deliver packages of God's love. Now think about it. What could be better than that?